Welcome to our Sunday school class. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank thee for thy mercy in our lives. Thank thee that we can come once again to study thy word. Lord, may thou be gracious to bless the adult Sunday school class for thy own honor and glory. May thy spirit come and teach us and strengthen us through the study of thy word. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. With goodwill doing service, Ephesians 6, 5 to 9, let's read. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service as man pleases, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord, and not to men, knowing that whatsoever thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be born or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven. Neither is there respect of persons with him. Amen. With goodwill doing service, Ephesians 6, 5 to 9. The two thoughts concerning the servant-master relationship. Servants, be obedient, verses 5 to 8. And masters, be kind. Verse 9. The Apostle Paul, by inspiration of God, delineates for us what healthy working relationship will look like. For many of us, we spend many hours in the workplace. And what does the healthy working relationship look like? Well, he first tells us about the healthy husband-wife relationship. Then he tells us about the healthy parent-child relationship. And then, now, thirdly, he speaks to us concerning the relationship in the workplace between the master and the servant. And it's interesting that the focus of a healthy relationship is on the subject of submission. This, you see, is the secret of order in the marriage, family, and the work life. Because it is God that places authority for our blessing, and this is where, with a God-centered focus, we shall be able to thrive in our earthly relationships. That is, in fact, a good reflection of our relationship with our Heavenly Father. And so, from the visible realm, we move to the invisible realm and back to the visible realm to help us to see the full picture and finding meaning in the relationships in our lives. In a similar manner, the Apostle Paul will also show how masters should treat their servants. When Israel was in Egypt, they were badly treated by their Egyptian masters. They were abused and threatened and put through unhealthy working conditions. Right? Imagine you cannot take leave. You have to work long hours and you are not given the right material to do your work. All the chips were down. Right? They were very miserable. They cry out to God. God delivered them. For them, it was long periods of servitude. And this, you see, is an unhealthy working relationship. So, the first thought, masters, be obedient. Verses 5. Or servants, be obedient. verses 5 to 8. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleases, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be born or free. You notice here the exhortation is given in four verses. A very exhaustive rendering for our learning. For the relationship of the servant. He tells the servant to be obedient and loyal to their masters after the flesh. Why is it like that? Well, because earthly relationships is a reflection of the invisible realm, our relationship with our God. If we cannot learn to be loyal and good employees to our employer, well, it's a reflection, isn't it? When you see these authorities that is placed over us, we see the purpose of God in bringing us to whatever workplace that we be, to whoever supervisor that God would bring to us. So, the word obedient has the basic meaning to listen to. It means to obey, to submit to subject to yield to surrender to hearken. Right? As a duty of a doorkeeper to open the door. So here is taught to us the obedient, the meaning of the word obedient. To be willing to listen and to be willing to do as you have received the instruction. So the word obedient is also in the imperative. It is a command, right? A command to be adhered to continually. So here you must be wondering, why does the Lord want us to follow instructions like this, in this way? Well, you would find, as in husband-wife relationships, as in relationship between master and slave, or master and servant, a relationship between parents and children, there is that same thread of thought that the Lord wants us to see. The relationships on earth models the relationship in heaven. And that is something that we want to consider. Because the Lord says, right, through the Apostle Paul in verse 5, servants, be obedient unto them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling. Interesting that the Apostle Paul tells us what is the attitude by which the servant is to be obedient to the master. What is the attitude? It is with fear and trembling. Why like that? So the Lord wants us to learn, you know, how relationships ought to be. Fear and trembling has the meaning of reverence, at the same time, a healthy fear to offend a holy God. We are to obey our masters in the flesh as unto Christ. That's what Paul is saying to us. Right? They are placed by God over us in our life by His sovereign will. They are as unto God to us. So the book of Samuel speaks about this fear of the Lord. If ye will hear, fear the Lord, and serve him, and obey his voice, and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall both ye and also the king that reigneth over you continue following the Lord your God. 2 Kings 17:39. But the Lord your God ye shall fear, and he shall deliver you out of the hand of all your enemies. You find that God places us in his sovereign way. And as we bring ourselves to be subjected to his leading, well, the Lord guides us. Psalm 36 says this: to the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord. The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart, there is no fear of God before his eyes. So you see, a fear and trembling heart speaks about the fact that we know that, you know, when we receive an instruction, that there is a heavenly connotation that comes with it. As unto Christ, you are serving the Lord as you obey these instructions. So you see here, the Lord teaches us the kind of attitude that we ought to have in our workplace. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of men. Jeremiah 5:24. Neither say they in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God that giveth rain, both the former and the latter in his season. He reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest. Right? The Lord is the one that sends the rain. Right? Our employers are the one that at the end gives to us the paycheck, the pay packet. So you see here how the Lord uses this very physical daily images. And if you look at the life of Joseph, you find a very good example for our learning. While he was in the father's house, he obeyed the father's instruction. You remember when all the brothers were playing truant, going somewhere else where they ought not to be, what was David doing? Joseph doing? He was observing what they were doing. And what did he do? Well, he came back to tell the father what was going on. Why did he do that? Because he knew that it is for the good of the brothers that he does that. And it's important that we understand why what he's doing. You know, he understood the contact point of his allegiance. So when he was in prison, he was made by the prison keeper to be the one in charge of all the prisoners. How is it like that? How was he able to win the trust of the prison keeper? Well, because the prison keeper knew that he was someone who would follow instructions, right? Who would be loyal to follow the instruction, that none of the prisoners would run away. You see here a very interesting trait. And then he was brought to Potiphar's household. Right? Potiphar, the steward of the Pharaoh, gave him everything to run in the household. He was the steward. And he said that of all things that that you have made me in charge of, right, there is one thing that I must not be involved. That is the steward's wife. So when the steward's wife came to him, what did he do? Well, he had to flee. He had to run away, right? Because he knew that is no good, not what he ought to do. Okay? So he escaped. He ran away. Although he was maligned and he was put to prison, but he was clean. He knew what he was doing. And then what happened? Then he was in prison, and we said that he received good treatment by the prison keeper. Why? Well, because he was a goodly person. He served as unto the Lord. So in the fullness of time, the Lord brought him from the prison to the palace. Right? He was able to solve the dreams of Pharaoh. 7 years of famine and 7 years of plenty. And then what happened? Pharaoh made him the number two man. Right. Prime minister in charge of the whole of Egypt. Wow, to run the famine. He was just a prisoner. How could he win that trust? Well, because his heart was single toward the Lord. He was not serving Pharaoh. He was serving Pharaoh. You know, his loyalty was toward Pharaoh. That's clear. That's in the physical realm. But more than that, in the spiritual realm, he was serving his Lord in heaven. And he had that kind of a perspective that enabled him to do well in his working relationship. Romans chapter 13 says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. They that resist shall receive to themselves damnation." So here Paul says that authorities are placed before us, governments before us by God. "For rulers are not a terror to good works." If you would do good, right, would you not be praised? Paul says you will be praised. "But to the evil," right, if you do evil, is it good? Of course not. Right. "Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have the praise of the same. For he is a minister of God to thee for good." Right? Authorities are placed over us in order to advance us for our good. "But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain." The rulers that be, right, beareth the sword, right, the power of discipline. "For he is the minister of God, a revenger to exact wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore, ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake." So, here, this fear, Matthew Paul observed, is with reverence and fear of offending them and being punished by them. So you see here that when you serve an earthly master, there is a heavenly perspective. If you have a fear of God, if we have a fear of God in our hearts, then, you know, we realize that there are many things we cannot see. Why like that? Why we are passed an instruction to do this and to do that? Of course, if it's something that is evil, we will not do. Just like a brother who was asked to up the competitor's bid. He knows, hey, they are going for a bidding. He already know the competitor's bid. Right? The boss told him, hey, this is the competitor's bid. So you just have to add a little bit more and you win the tender. He says, "I cannot partake. If I carry on like that, you know, I'll be in trouble." So he had to resign from his job, because he knew that he's going to be caught and he's going to be incarcerated. He knew that it is no good. That's evil. He won't partake. But else, you see We are to serve with reverence and fear, with in singleness of heart. This is an expression of devotion, loyalty, sincerity, and honesty. And that's what God wants us to have. That kind of an attitude. Our Lord expects from His people absolute loyalty because He alone is their God as such. The commentator Adam Clark, he says very well, not merely through fear of punishment, but from a principle of uprightness, serving them as you would serve Christ. How would you serve Christ? Someone who had died for you, someone who had paid the highest price to redeem you. Whereas you were slaves, now you are a free man. You remember the story. The story of the slave girl who was redeemed. The ransom was paid for her. So she was free. And what happiness she has with that kind of freedom. And what gratitude for the freedom that was given to her. And as we think about this, what Paul is saying to us, we want to help us to see that it is this learning of the servant's attitude is founded on the fifth commandment. The fifth commandment says giving honor to our parents. Right? Fifth commandment says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord giveth. It is the first relationship that God has given to us. They are the giver of our life. Right? And you learn to honor father and mother, to be willing to listen to their instructions. Right? And here it tells us that it brings us to good stead. When we are out in the working world, we learn how to preserve the honor and relationship with superiors and equals and inferiors. Right? Paul tells us, he teaches us how important it is that the people of God learn this attitude. So how do we do that? Well, we learn it by teaching them in the home. As I think about what Paul is saying here, you see that it is grounded indeed. Right? In the training of the heart, the training of the mind. Right? When a child is still young, D.L. Moody, he says, begin in the home. The first four commandments deal with our relationships to God. They tell us how to worship God, when to worship. They forbid irreverence and impiety in word and act. Now God turns to our relationship with each other, and isn't it significant that He deals first with family life? God is going to show us our duty to our neighbor. How does He begin? He's not telling us how kings ought to reign, how soldiers ought to fight, how merchants ought to conduct their business, but how boys and girls ought to behave at home. So you see here how important it is, this training of the heart. Verse 6 says, not with eye service and as men pleases, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Right? If servants were to render their service as unto earthly master, hoping to please them at all costs for personal gain and favor, working only when the boss is looking and idling when he's not looking, then we have missed the point of the work that has been entrusted to us. It is the God in heaven who has given us this job, this work. And we are to do it for His honor and glory. So this is the right attitude of the Christian men and women. Verse 7 says, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. So the servant is to serve his Lord Jesus Christ, who has paid the highest price for his salvation. He alone is Lord, and he alone deserves our service. And therefore, you see, when we have a God-centered perspective in our life, then all the other relationships in our life, all the other environments in our life come into order. You see that? And Paul addresses them one by one, right? From the home between the husband and wife to in the home between the parents and the children, and then in the workplace, right? In the workplace, when you have when he finds himself serving an earthly master. And so here, the Lord tells us that you have a reward that is coming for every faithful servant. So when we serve God, whatever that God brings us to do, may we do it with all our heart. Whatever task that God brings to you for this week, for the rest of your life, in your workplace, do it as unto the Lord. Whatever that task may be, the Lord wants us to have that kind of an understanding, right, that in all the realm of the Christian's service, the Christian's life, he's rendering it unto the Lord. It doesn't mean that when you are doing spiritual work, so-called spiritual work, then it's spiritual. No. Your work in the workplace is spiritual because you are doing it as unto the Lord. The task in which you are doing as unto the Lord, because it is, you are placed there by the Lord. It is spiritual. And therefore, the Lord wants us to have that understanding, you see, so that in our life, wherever God has placed us, that lay upon our hearts to do as he leads us, we do it for his own honor, for his own glory. And that is very marvelous, isn't it? You can be washing the floor. It's for the Lord. A menial task. You could be sweeping the floor. You could be cleaning the toilet. You could be doing something that you don't like. Something that you don't feel that uplifting. But the Lord tells you that, hey, this task he has given to you, and you do so for his honor and glory. And you put your heart to it. You put your effort to do it well. And the Lord will reward you. That's what the Lord wants us to have, that kind of an attitude. And that's what Paul is trying to impart to us. And we give you that teaching and the understanding of what God would want you to do. So Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, 9 to 10, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or whether it be bad. Right? Whatever we do in this life, God is going to give us a reward at the end. For all the good work that we do, we expect from the Lord a righteous man's reward, a crown of righteousness all that God had done for us, the service that the Lord gives to us, when we do it with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength as unto the Lord, the Lord is pleased. We serve as a faithful servant. When we do our work, we are in fact serving the Lord. And He is the one who has placed us in our workplace. We are His witnesses. And the Lord will reward us for our faithful service. John Calvin, he explained it very well. He says, so what a powerful consolation, this phrase, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, however unworthy, however ungrateful or cruel their masters may be, God will accept their service as rendered unto Himself. So you may not receive a good response from the boss, from the master. Does it matter? Well, the Lord says that if you have done it as unto the Lord, you have a clear conscience. And what a wonderful understanding God gives to us. When servants take into account the pride and arrogance of their masters, they often become more indolent from the thought that their labor is thrown away. But Paul informs them that their reward is laid up with God for services which appear to be ill bestowed on unfeeling men, and there is no reason, therefore, why they should be led aside from the path of duty. What a statement of truth, isn't it? That the Christian is able to steadfastly do his work, serve well, he adds, whether born or free. No distinction is made between a slave and a free man. The world is one to set little value on the labels of slaves, but God esteemed them as highly as the duties of kings. So that is something that, you know, in our worldly mindset, we cannot really understand. We esteem only certain type of work is worthy work. Certain type of work is unworthy work. But if you have understood the mind of the Lord, then you would realize that the unworthy work is worthy work in the sight of God. And therefore, you know, you would be able to do it, right, in such a way that, you know, you are so happy accomplishing what the Lord had done, that had for you to do. And you are expecting a faithful servant's reward. At the end, what a great encouragement for the people of God. The world is one to set little value on the values of labels of slaves, but God esteems them as highly as the duties of kings. In His estimate, the outward station is thrown aside. Each is judged according to the uprightness of his heart. Wonderful, isn't it? We are judged by the uprightness of our heart, how we go about doing whatever task that God gives to us. The second thought, masters be kind, verse 9. And ye, masters, do the same thing unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Warren Worsby, he said very well, he says, the Christian faith does not bring about harmony by erasing social or cultural distinctions. Servants are still servants when they trust Christ, and masters are still masters. Rather, the Christian faith brings harmony by working in the heart. Christ gives us a new motivation, not a new organization. Both servant and master are serving the Lord and seeking to please Him. And in this way, they are able to work together to the glory of God. That's important. If we are able to see correctly in perspective. Dr. D.A. Wade, he said, well, God has a certain way that you are to treat your servants. We are to forbear, bring threatening. The word forbear means to omit or to stop. Right? The word there is used with a very good illustration of Israel who was in Egypt. When they were slaves there, they were ill-treated. Life was miserable. Many of them died of exhaustion, lack of rest, nutrition. Right? For us here in our workplace, it's not like that. Right? You expect to get your 13th month. If nothing else, you have your 13th month. Right? You expect to have your 14 days leave, your 2 weeks, 2 weeks leave. You're not going to have to work, 365 days. Right? You have your day of rest. You see, we are not in those conditions. We thank God that, you know, He has given to us a light yoke in the work that He has given to us. But for the Israelites who were in Egypt, life was very difficult. Many died of exhaustion, lack of rest and nutrition. The work reached an unbearable state, and they were crying out to God. You know, we were studying our on the book of Exodus, and many records we went through of the Israelites crying out to God because life was so difficult, so painful, so miserable. And how the Lord heard their cry, and how the Lord sent deliverance. The Israelites were treated so terribly. The taskmasters in Egypt were threatening to the Israelites who were building for Pharaoh. And the Israelites were told they will no longer have straw to help them make their bricks. Very tough, difficult, right? How can it be? It's an unreasonable demand. Unreasonable demand. Yet, they were to make the same bricks and they had to find their own straw. And the taskmasters would threaten. And they were miserable. But here, the admonition is that we have a heavenly master. If you are a master, right? You have one in heaven that you serve. And therefore, this truth has to be impressed upon our hearts so that we know, right, that if you were to do whatever that you do, right, may it bring honor, may it bring glory to the name of God. You are serving your heavenly master. Whether you are a master, whether you are a slave, all of us serve our heavenly master. You can be a master in one environment, you can be a slave in another environment, but whatever it is, right, the Lord wants us to understand and see God in perspective of all those relationships, that God is the one that places all these relationships. For our good, for our advancement. Our Heavenly Father will, without respect of persons, mete out just reward for all who serve Him well. All who serve Him well, the Lord will give us reward. We sang the hymn, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. We are preparing for our to arrive in our heavenly home to receive our rewards. In the meantime, well, we are willing to serve Him quietly, serve Him dutifully, serve Him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we expect from our Lord a coming heavenly reward. The Lord is returning soon, and He is bringing His reward with Him for all His faithful servants. And we, in anticipation to what God will do for us in the eternity to come, are willing, right, to serve Him. Right, this short life, you know. How much time can you serve? 30 years? 40 years? 50 years? Well, that's quite about there, you know. And may the Lord help us to enjoy the privilege that He has given to us as His servants. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for the gift of servanthood. And Thou hast placed us, bought us with a price, and given to us this free will, freedom from sin, to live this life of service to Thee as a free man. May Thou help us to indeed live this life well. May Thou indeed help us to serve Thee with all our heart and soul and mind and strength. For when the night cometh, the night will come when we can serve no more. May Thou bless the hearts of Thy people. Thank Thee for showing us Thy word, instruction, how we can serve Thee with distinction. So Lord, may Thou energize Thy people, bless our service, and Lord, may Thou strengthen Thy people, that we may indeed be anticipating the day when we would meet Thee face to face to receive Thy commendation. Well done, Thou good and faithful servant. So Lord, may this thought, this truth, spur us on to greater service for Thee. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.